to Wandsworth Christian Centre's podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's really interesting what has just gone on here, where the meeting developed. It developed where we started to increase our faith in terms of God being able to heal and God being the answer to our prayers and to every kind of affliction, circumstance that can ever befall us. And the pastor decided that it was appropriate that he would give anybody an opportunity. Okay, so what was presented was an opportunity because of the circumstances we found ourselves in. And the reason the glasses came in is because you need these glasses to be able to see 3D telly properly. Or else, have you ever seen 3D telly without the glasses on? It's just a mess, isn't it? You can't make it out. It's all fuzzy and all that kind of stuff. And I want to talk about spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. Blindness is defined as the condition of lacking visual perception, the inability to interpret the surrounding environment. Therefore, spiritual blindness is a lack of spiritual perception because of an inability to interpret the surrounding environment. So you could have found yourselves where those readily grasp the opportunity just to come forward, but others just got lost in the moment. It meant of no significance whatsoever. Elisha, let's hear what spiritual enlightenment and perception can do. Elisha, the prophet's attendant, got up early in the morning. He went outside and there was an army surrounding the city, along with horses and chariots. And he said to Elisha, "Oh no, my master, what we will do?" And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, they was just besieged with all these soldiers. And Elisha answered and said, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them." Yet they were on their own. So how could he see that? How could he see that? Okay. Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so he can see." The Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw that the hill was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And Elisha prayed and says, "Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And as they approached him, this was the armies, Elisha prayed, strike these people with blindness. And that's what happened. So through a prayer, what could be seen in the natural was a terrible calamity that was going to happen. They were going to get wiped out. No two ways about it. But Elisha, he knew a little different. He could see something that the servant couldn't. And he prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." And when he did, he saw all the help that was available. I remember reading the book, Edge of Darkness. It tells the story of just ordinary people. A work of fiction. Going about their lives. But alongside this story of ordinary people going along their lives, it spoke and it tells a story about a heavenly realm. But where angels, at a moment's notice, because of our prayers, would go into action. And they would fight against the enemy in the angelic realm. And they would battle on our behalf as this evil force would come to torment us, to hinder us, to strike us down. And I remember a part in the book where a pastor was on his knees. And the angels are there with their hands on the swords. And they were going, "Let us loose, Lord, let us loose." Can't. He hasn't asked you. And this pastor was there and he was crying because his church was in such a mess and there was such opposition to his church. And he was crying and the angels were gagging just to get stuck in. And right at the end he goes, "Lord, help me." And the swords came out and they went to town on the enemy and the pastor got delivered and his church got sorted. And it's a work of fiction, but I loved it because it gives you an insight to what it could be like. I'm not saying it's like that, what it could be like. What it could be like. And I thought that was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Does God have much to say about this spiritual blindness insight? Well, enough that Jesus repeated a section of Isaiah in the New Testament, in Matthew. And concerning them, the prophecy of Isaiah, it is fulfilled that says, "You will listen carefully, yet you'll never understand. You will look closely, but you'll never ever comprehend. For the heart of this people has become dull, and they are hard of hearing. For they have shut their eyes, so that they would not see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would hear them. But your eyes are blessed because they see, and your ears because they hear. We know that story, don't we, church, of Jesus when he starts walking on the water. And he packed his disciples into a boat and he said, take us to the other side. And halfway through, do you remember what happened? Big storm. A big storm. Okay, they were in massive trouble, fighting for their lives. And Jesus came walking along on the blooming water. Okay, and this is what happened. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. Amazed. Wondered. Well, wouldn't you react like that if you saw Jesus walking on the water? If you saw a miracle like that, you'd feel the same. Okay, but this is what Jesus says. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They couldn't take it all in. They were so shocked and amazed and surprised at this miracle that Jesus says it was because their hearts were hardened. Another way of saying it, church, is that they related more to the natural than they did to the supernatural. What's just going on tonight? Your natural could say, well, I don't feel God's touching me, moving me. I don't feel the buzz. I don't feel the hairs on the back of my neck standing in. So what's the point in coming up and getting prayed for? It's only blooming Paul, any case. Well, you know, what does it matter? I'm just saying that, Paul, don't mean it, okay? Okay, what does it matter? You know, that's a natural, but the supernatural says God's in this place. The supernatural says that God can even work through Paul. I'm just saying it, Paul, I'm just saying it, okay? No, but that's just the supernatural, you see. That you don't take note of the supernatural. Hey, you might be feeling that I don't feel as though I'm worthy to get prayed for. I brought it all upon myself, any case. But the supernatural says the perfect love casts out all fear, and God is in this place to heal. To heal. The dictionary defines hardens as this: cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. And if we're honest, sometimes it's how we deal with things as well. When that bell knock drops through the door, or something happens in our life, or the boss has a go and we don't know how to deal with it, and we don't always react, and we don't always feel God the way we should. Church, there are various limits of blindness, is there not? So I thought you needed a visual aid. Do you like that? See what I did there? Visual aid, right? But you can have a reprobate, hardened heart. And I thought, how could I best depict that? And thanks to Wayne, I thought it best that I could suggest, right? Right? I thought, well, perhaps we could potentially do that, yeah? So I thought, okay, how do I stage the next journey? So I thought, on our journey of light. I mean, what's the motto for Wolverhampton Wanderers? Okay, so you've come out of the darkness, Wayne. Okay. And we're heading towards the light. Nice England top there. Patriotic. We can all agree in this middle ground, yeah? But I thought 2020 vision. How's it best to depict 2020 vision? Paul, would you like to guess? And did you feel it? Did you feel it? Hey? Out of darkness cometh light. Okay, stop heckling, all right, Matt? Okay, there's no place in church for hecklers. Blooming Wolves fans. My point exactly, Paul. Okay, the greatest example of a reprobate heart is where? Depend on modern you. Okay, Andy, we're moving on now, all right. Can I just say, who did the Villa have at their ground? Who do the Wolves have down theirs? Jovis. if you want to, but the Lord's saying you shouldn't. Okay, Pharaoh. Pharaoh, the greatest example of a reprobate heart. Do you remember where Moses let my people go and all this kind of stuff? And they sent the plague of frogs and the water turned into blood and there was boils and sores and all this. And every time he went back and he goes, have you learnt your lesson? Have you learnt your lesson? And he goes, yeah. Okay, go. And as soon as he's out of range, Pharaoh again, his heart would stiffen, it says, and he would harden up. And they're back where they started. Even to the effect that after, it was the seven plagues, I think there was. After that, he sent his army through the Red Sea. The water was parted. And he's still not blooming learning his lesson, is he? I mean, I'd call it a day, wouldn't you? But, you know, he sent them in and they all got drowned. So what caused a man like that? Now, this guy couldn't have been that stupid. He was Pharaoh, after all. Yeah, he must have had something about him to stay in power because he was so cutthroat. He must have had something. He couldn't see it. Seven miracles. Oh, blimey, there used to be a sea. Eh? It's opened up. Oh, that's all right. He couldn't see it because his heart was hardened. He just couldn't see it. That's to the one extreme. But I want to look at other barriers that might befall this range of blindness. From Pharaoh in a wool shirt to Billy Graham in a Villa shirt. Okay? I want to... Beautiful. I want to talk about pride. There's only a few points. Pride. An overinflated opinion of yourself. Arrogance. Could it have been pride that maybe stopped one or two people coming down the front to receive something from God? Could it be? For all that is in the world, it says in 1 John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. When pride comes, then comes shame. With the humble is wisdom in Proverbs. Again, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the advised is wisdom. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. There is a way, church, that seems right unto man, but in the end leads to death. The Bible portrays the Sadducees and the Pharisees in such a negative light because they thought they knew it all. They could never be taught. Nothing. We've been discussing a lot in the men's meetings, a theme that's coming out. We talk about, especially me and Paul, about what it used to be like, you know, a good 20, 25 years here. It's a great place to be. But there was a hardness in some respects of it was pure black and pure white. There was never any grey. It was either right or it was wrong. And there was a lot going on. And I look back and I've changed my opinions. Not about the fundamental truths. Not about that. Just in the way that, you know, the Bible says the greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind and soul and your neighbour as yourself. And it's that aspect I've changed a lot. The criticisms I had. And the point I'm trying to make is this, is that we thought we were so right. So right. And if I thought we were so right then, but now I've changed, what makes me think that because I'm so right now, that I won't in 10 years' time change again. And because of that, church, that we hold on to these fundamental truths, we do, and we have to. As religious leaders in the church, we have to safeguard one another. But there's certain things worth fighting for, and there's certain things that ain't worth fighting for. And there's certain things that we leave God to deal with, and we give people the benefit of the doubt. Because this enlightenment, this spiritual walk that we're on, 25 years ago, I might have been down here for argument's sake. You know, Paul says, the Apostle Paul, I see through a glass darkly, but one day I'll see him as we should see him. So maybe in this life, it's impossible for this natural mind of ours to ever comprehend the spiritual truths and insights of God. And a few shocks in store for us in heaven, I do believe. But as we walk towards this spiritual light, there are certain things worth fighting for and other things worth just leaving with God. I truly believe that. So, it says this in John. They said to him, this is the Pharisees, what did he do to you? How did he cause you to see, talking of Jesus? And this guy answered, I told you already, you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You people don't want to become his disciples too, do you? They heaped insults on him, the Pharisees, saying, you are his disciple, we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. We do not know where this man comes from. The man replied, this is a remarkable thing that you don't know where he comes from. And yet, he caused me to see. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. But if anyone is devout and does his will, God listens to him. Never before has anyone heard of someone causing a man born blind to see. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So what did they do? Did they change the mind? No, they threw him out. What they couldn't rationalize, what they couldn't see with their own hardened hearts, their own blind eyes. The man was trying to reason with them, but their pride would not allow them to see the truth. So rather than think about it, rather than have a little meeting about it, rather than discuss the claims, the man, he's right, you know. He's right, but no, they shut him up by throwing him out. If you don't want to listen, you don't want to see, you ever tried to teach your gran how to work at a VCR, or now it's a blooming computers, isn't it? No, you do try, Di. I'm not talking about you. What I'm talking about is that, you know, that, oh, well, I'll never understand. No, it's easy. Just press this button. No, no, I'll never understand. If you can't, if the people don't want to know, they don't understand, right, they just, remember Blind Man Buff? Remember it? Remember it, Paul? Yeah, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Well, you think he'd know he's putting his hands in the fire. You can't get much warmer than that, would you? He never lets me forget it. Never lets me forget it. But if you don't want to, stubbornness, pride, superiority, what do they know? Who do they think they are? What can that church possibly teach us? You know? Maybe cynicism and hardness of heart are related. Maybe one causes the other. That God wants to replace this heart of stone with a heart of flesh. How we see other churches and things that go on, other churches, how we verbalize them, not only damages the people that listen to us, but it damages our own hearts as well. A critical, cynical spirit. We've discussed these certain things in the men's meeting. How, you know, that it's so easy to fall into a pattern about being cynical, but it doesn't keep the heart open. Hurt, betrayal from those that once stood alongside us. It's hard, isn't it? Should we choose to hang on to that hurt? Well, maybe we don't do it purposefully. Do we choose not to forgive? Church, it's a backward step. It is. It causes spiritual blindness. Or if we saw it in the light, would we see as God sees it, one wounded person just striking out against another? Things that we don't know that goes on in people's hearts. But God wants us to see the world, to see each other, to see our neighbours, the people sitting next to us with a new light, a bright spiritual sight. Unbelief. Down the Emmaus Road, if you remember the story, two of them walking down, going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Two of them were talking to each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked, what are you discussing together? And their faces downward, they says, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem today who does not know about the things that have happened? What things? Jesus said. About Jesus of Nazareth, he replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he had one thing. He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, in the third day, he said he was going to rise. Some of the women, they told us they'd been down to the tomb. They didn't find his body, but we haven't seen him. And he said to them, how foolish you are. And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And he went on to tell them that he says that, but didn't he promise these things? But you've chosen to listen to the natural, to look at the natural, the things of your own eyes, He said it to cling to the truth and the promises that this Jesus made, talking of himself. If they'd have been able to see in the spiritual light, they wouldn't have been downcast. They'd have been waiting for the miracle to happen. Maybe even frustrated that it hasn't happened quite yet, but they would cling on to that, but they didn't believe that. It was only later that Jesus revealed himself to them. It says in the Bible that in one village that not even Jesus could perform a miracle because of their unbelief. We know the story of the 12 spies, that they all went to look at the promised land being sent there. How many of them, church, saw good? How many of them saw the possibilities? And how many of them saw giants and the fact that it was impossible? 12 went, and only 2 said it was possible. A church, that's a ratio we seem to be up against. Yeah, the 5-to-1 ratio, that everything is negative, but that one lone voice in that spiritual light saying that it's possible. In God, all things are possible. I don't care if the giants, but my God is able. I don't care what that sickness is, because my God is able. He's able to break every chain. When they look over that hill and they see the problems and the heartaches and the negativity, they're able to look in a different direction and say, I look up to the God from whence cometh my help. Unbelief. Finally, Jesus spoke to his disciples about the characteristics of a hard heart. Jesus being aware, it says in Mark 8, why do you reason because you have no bread? Why do you reason? You said you've got no bread, but I'm here. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, don't you yet see? You had to be talking to the spiritual. And having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? He gave us the symptoms, church. 1, unable to perceive, perception, unable to see properly. Unable to understand, unable to see, unable to hear, and unable to remember. When spiritual things are perceived, church, a hard heart will keep a person from understanding. And sometimes even a few things that we do understand, we don't know how to apply them to our life. You know, Sadie's amazed at me that I can see a football program from 30 years ago and remember who scored the goal. You know? Kids can't study it. They can't remember, but they can know all the words to the latest pop song. You know, whatever we turn our hearts towards, whatever we choose to consider, we remember. I remember that at school, there's many subjects I didn't like, but music I loved. I love music. Maths wasn't one of my strong subjects at school, but music, I was like a sponge. And I remember the exam. I walked in, and half hour later, I walked out. It was so easy. But maths was different. Now, when I left school and I got a job, they sent us to night school, and we had to do maths. Well, this time, there was money at stake. So I applied myself. I was best in the class at maths. All of a sudden, calculus and everything was easy. It was. I forgot it now, but at the time, they said it was important. So whatever you consider, whatever you think upon, that important. So we come from here, and so we know we need to go in that direction. So we have a choice now about what we want to consider, what we want to turn our hearts to, our eyes to, our ears to. Now, there's a lot of good things. The guys, all they do is ride bikes, right? And have graphs to tell me how they rode their bikes. It's really interesting. Okay? And if anybody, right, don't believe me, ask them afterwards, okay? Because Andy's got this graph about all these hills they went up. It's fascinating. Okay? They love it. Now, these things, you know, on our walk then towards spiritual light, are they wrong? Of course they're not wrong. Well, they might be, the way they go on about it. Okay? But no, it's not wrong, is it? But it's only the proportion of what they apply their lives to, which in conjunction with everything else that goes on. But if it dominates, or anything for that matter, dominates, when it comes to the crunch, they will only perceive the natural rather than perceiving the supernatural. I liken the Christian faith, church, to come on. Thank you. Warming up for Christmas. A treadmill. In that you can't stand still on a treadmill because you go flying backwards into the wall, don't you? And that's it with Christianity. You have to keep walking forward because remember I said that ratio like 5 to 1? There's so many things coming against us that if we stand still, we go backwards towards the wall shirt. And we don't want to do that, do we, church? We want to go forward towards the light, towards the villa shirt. Okay, that's what we need to do. Amen. Thank you. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They couldn't see it, church. And we can be critical of that. How could Pharaoh not see it? How could they not see it walking with Jesus all that time? But you know, of all the things that are at our disposal within the Word of God, why do we find it so hard sometimes? We can't be critical of them, doesn't the Bible say, to take the mote out of your own eye first? Because there's so much at our disposal. We have Christ living on the inside. It says that we can know the mind of Christ. We can know all these things. In the Old Testament, God worked externally, but in the New Testament, God is internal. That it's easier for us. Yeah, we can be critical. How can they not see it? How can we not see it? Consider, to study, ponder, deliberate, examine, think upon. Meditate. Focus. They didn't focus on the miracle. Romans says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the song we sang in Power of Your Love. Let my heart be transformed. Unveil my eyes. They're so dominated by the natural, they couldn't see the supernatural. But I'm not clever enough. That doesn't matter a thing, does it? Because education can be the one thing that keeps you from trying to understand because you try and work it out. Education, intelligence, cultural background, none of this gets you to that place of spiritual insight. But a heart that is alive to God, church, whilst we close, is a heart that understands God, that as we've been singing this evening, I mentioned it last week, if you listen closely enough, those that can hear, those that can see, you will hear the applause of heaven clapping you because God's pleased with you. Yeah, I know we make mistakes. I know that. But he knows that as well. He made us. He knows that. But just listen. Just listen. It's the applause of heaven clapping us. Because as we were getting into worship, so is he. Because when we worship, it's good for us as well. And he loves it. He loves it. God is pleased with us. And tonight, if we listen closely enough, we know how much he cares for us. How much he wants the best for us. Church, how much he loves you. So please, if you remember anything, remember this spiritual walk. Wolves is bad. Villa is good. England's in the middle, okay? But seriously, spiritual blindness affects us all, church. It does affect us all. God wants the best for us, and don't we want the best for ourselves and each other? Yeah, we do. Paul, amen. Thank you, church.
Oh, amen. Thanks, Gaz. I mean, I think it's really subtle what Gary's talking about, and I think these things creep up on us. Without us really thinking about it. And sometimes it's good, from what Gary said, to take some self-analysis and look in our hearts. Because I think at times we go on through life and then all of a sudden we take stock and have a look and realise, you know, have we lost that cutting edge? Have we lost that little bit of focus? Have we lost a little bit of that compassion, that passion or that heart for God? Are we worshipping like we did? Have our hearts become hardened because we're not spending as much time with God praying or, you know, reading the word or getting into things and our hearts. And it's just a real subtle. Don't think you become hardened like that overnight. So often it's a real subtle. Before you know it, you're down the road and you've got to get yourself back. And I think it's really important for us to look at ourselves and just have a bit of self-analysis. And I wonder if we, just before we go and just leave and sing the last song. If we could just stand to our feet and let's just pray together. Just as we close, and then the band will come. Well, I pray tonight, you know, church, he is the light of the world, Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit has come to reveal the light of the world to us. And we need the light of his love and the light to shine in the darkness, to reveal the ways, his truths, his love, his ways, that it may expel the darkness. You know, if you're in a cave, you know, you can't shovel out darkness. You can't get a bucket and get rid of darkness. The way you expel darkness is by turning on a light. And he is the light. And the way to get rid of darkness in our lives and hardness is just to bring Jesus into the equation. Just bring him in. And the Holy Spirit, his job is to just to reveal and illuminate God's word and God's truths, that we go from darkness to light. So we pray tonight for us as a church, each and every one. Lord, we look to you tonight. We pray, Holy Spirit, we allow you into our lives afresh and new, to just to come with the illumination of God's word, just to reveal truth, just to reveal your light again into the areas of our lives that we've become hardened to, the areas of our lives that we've shut away and we've shut down and we've stopped caring maybe, or we've stopped loving maybe, we're not as compassionate as we were, or we're not cutting edge, and we've just moved back. We've just moved away. We've just not considered the things of God as like we used to. We've just walked away a little. Holy Spirit, reveal those areas to us. Holy Spirit, come into our lives and reveal that truth. We open up our hearts to you, we pray, that you would just come to our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, just come. As we leave this place and we look and we pray, Father God, let us, Lord, just take stock, self-analysis, and just look within, and by your Spirit, just reveal. Our hearts, Lord, are for you. Our hearts, Lord, are just to move on. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Father God, for the times when we have walked away. We've just stepped backwards. And we're just not in that place anymore. Forgive us, we pray, Lord. But let us tonight begin to draw a line in the sand from this night on, Lord, to get back in your word, back in your truth, get back focused, maybe to put those choruses back on that we used to listen to read that word like we used to read it, to maybe come back to church more often, or back into the life group, or whatever it may be. That the illumination and the light of your truth and your word will come into our lives. Holy Spirit, we avail ourselves to you this night. We commit that word into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this week's message.